Gracious God in heaven, we come before you this morning, thankful for this opportunity to hear from you, dear Lord God. We thank you for your word. It's alive, it's a living thing. And I thank you, Lord, that today your word is being sown on good ground. And Father, my prayer is that we are believers that would bring forth 30, 60, and a 100-fold return on what's being sown. That we would bring forth fruit, and that fruit shall remain, dear Lord God, and that you will be glorified. Father, I pray this not for us alone, but for every church, dear Lord God, across America and across the world. Pour your spirit out. Bless us indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Repeat after me, please. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will be equipped,
and I will serve.
I will worship,
I will connect,
I will be equipped,
and I will serve. Today, we're going to finish up the series, What Gets God's Attention. This is part five. I think I've only done this once or twice, but I've gone this far. And I'm being kind and generous. I actually have two more, but we're going to stop today at five. And so week one, we learned that your financial giving gets God's attention. Amen? Your financial giving gets God's attention. Week two, we learned that obedience and submission gets God's attention. Week three, we learned that a made-up mind. See, what's a made-up mind? All eyes on me, please. What's a made-up mind? A made-up mind. One is not vacillating back and forth. One is not double-minded. A made-up mind gets God's attention. Last week, we learned that true worshipers gets God's attention. A true worshiper, okay? And this week, we're going to look at something else that gets God's attention. Get a photo, please, the slide. Hallelujah, huh? Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, you're saying breakfast gets God's attention? Well, let's talk this through. And what we're looking at, we're looking at, you know, bacon and eggs. It's a standard breakfast in America, bacon and eggs. Bacon and eggs, right? Right? Bacon and eggs, right? Bacon and eggs. And let me ask you, what two animals were needed or necessary for that bacon and egg breakfast? A chicken and what else? A pig. Now, which one was more committed to this breakfast, the chicken or the pig? We can say the chicken gave of herself. That pig really gave. So one of them was really committed. So you walk with God. Are you a chicken or are you a pig? It's going to be one of those kind of mornings. So I'm going to let that... Yeah. Our scripture on your handout is 2 Corinthians 16, verse 9. And it says this, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Now, I've been referencing this the whole series and finally getting to it. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth, in order to strengthen those. Who is he going to strengthen? Those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So we can deduce from this that a fully committed heart gets God's attention. A fully committed heart. Now, I referenced the chicken and egg because a lot of us, we kind of like the chicken. We go to church. We get our praise on. It's a good word, Pastor. Good word. See you next Sunday. And that's about all of Jesus for you. And that's not a criticism, but it's just, you know, and I understand. You guys got to remember, I've been involved in this from day one, from the day I was born, because my dad was a pastor. And I was a teenager at McDonald's. I was so sick of church. I was sick of him, sick of church, sick of all of that. I was just sick of all of that. And they needed somebody to work on Sundays. And before they assigned people at McDonald's, they said, anybody want to volunteer? Put both my hands up. That way I legitimately didn't have to go to church. Hallelujah. So I'm not here condemning anybody. You know, there are those people that came out their mother's womb, saved, got spirit-filled when they were 3 years old, and know every... it's good. That ain't me. But you can shift. from being a chicken to being a pig. So we see that a fully committed heart gets God's attention. But I want to look at that scripture a little bit more. Let's take our time and walk through it. The first part of it that really jumps out to me, it says, the eyes of the Lord search. Now, we know God is spirit. So we're not talking about physical eyes. We're not talking about physical eyes here, okay? The eyes of the Lord search. So he's an invisible realm. So the invisible is peering into the visible. Just let that resonate with you for a moment. Just let that resonate. The invisible is looking into the visible. He's peering down. And the thing is, he's searching. He's searching. And search means that, you know, that's intense. You ever search for something? Especially something that you really want? Something that you know, that's dear to you? He's searching. That's intense. Well, what is it that he really wants and he's looking for? And then where is he looking? Well, one, he's looking at the whole earth. Now, this blesses me because generally, and as Minister Quita said earlier, we will degrade ourselves. We will have less positive self-perspective based on our social experiences. But God is looking the whole earth. So it doesn't matter. And the reason, one of the reasons I bring up, more frequently than probably most pastors, you know, the racial, I bring up something racial here is because I'm in a bunch of different camps. So I'm with Mexicans. I'm with white people. I'm with the Portuguese. I'm all over. And I see it, okay? For some of you, it's a little too uncomfortable. You want to live in a bubble like everything's okay. Okay, well, it's not. It's not. So, but it doesn't matter on a racial side. And so I don't care if the world is saying, well, the black man is less than a black Israel. You know, he's looking for somebody with a heart. He don't care if I'm black, green, blue, orange, or whatever. He's looking. So therefore, it kind of doesn't matter. It does not matter. My gender doesn't matter. My age doesn't matter. What matters is my heart. So instead of working on all this other stuff, and all, let me just work on my heart. There ain't nothing wrong when you want to make yourself look all beautiful. What's it, beautify yourself? Hallelujah, good. Glory to God. Fine. But at the end of the day, that effort you put on the outside, put that into your heart. So he's looking the whole earth, searching the whole earth. For what? Watch this. In order to strengthen. This was written in Hebrew, so I went and looked up the Hebrew word for strengthen, and this is what it means. It means to support, to repair, to keep hold of, to retain, to hold up, to sustain. And see, those are the things we look for others to do for us. And we're always getting disappointed, and we keep going back to that same place where we weren't fulfilled before. And all we have to do is understand that those whose hearts are fully, if my heart is fully committed to him, God will strengthen me. He will support me. Repair me, keep hold of me, retain me, hold me up, and sustain me. And he's looking for someone. And if I commit my heart to him, this is the blessing, the reward. So when many of us say this is what we want, but our actions, we're doing something else. Let me tell you something, too. Going back to the pig and the chicken, real life begins after death. Think about the pig for a moment. He gave himself up. And the Bible tells us, and Jesus said this himself, he said, unless a kernel of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So the key to fruitfulness is death to self. I need you to get that for a moment. When you choose not to come to church on the Sundays, what are you saying no to church? What are you saying yes to? I know that's not a criticism. I want you to think about it for a moment, okay? Please, I'm not here to condemn anybody. I want you to grow and become all God created you to be. That's what this is all about, okay? Okay? But if you're saying, because I need you to stop and just ponder some things for a moment. Well, Pastor, I'm committed to work. I'm committed to my family. I got that. But I tell you what. Do you want your family supported, repaired, kept hold of, retained, and held up and sustained? Then commit yourself to God and watch him hook up your, you see what I'm saying? It's just a shift in your thinking. It's just a shift. A committed heart gets God's attention. On your handout, 1 Samuel 16 through 7. I want to show you something, okay? And this is where a lot of us, we make a little mistake. And I'm not mad at anybody. Please hear my heart. I am for you and not against you, okay? 1 Samuel 16, 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel was a prophet, okay? And Samuel had gone to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king. Jesse's son, Eliab, the oldest, he was a good-looking guy. And when Samuel first saw him, Samuel, the prophet said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But he based it on because the guy was so good-looking. Nothing gay or homosexual, no. It was just a good-looking guy. And part of it is that because the previous king had been tall and good-looking, so Samuel made an easy assumption that the next guy is going to be the same way. We do that too. We make a lot of our future decisions based on our past. But sometimes God wants to do a new thing. Oh, y'all know that verse. Hallelujah. So here we go. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. Now, let's just stay there for a moment. I've dealt with rejection. Sometimes I can get a job I applied for. I remember once I applied for a job to be a meter reader for the city of Anaheim, and they said I didn't pass the test. Somebody lying. Meter reader, seriously? Didn't pass the test. You know, in hindsight, I know God was hooking me up. He was protecting me. He had something else for me, okay? But that was rejection. You get the little letter in the mail, you know? Oh, yeah. I've been rejected by, you know, when I was dating. Hey. And back in the day, it was the horoscopes, you know. And by the way, that's demonic, okay? So all y'all, like I'm Aries, Sagittarius, and straight from the pit of hell, okay? But back in the day, it was like, hey, what's your sign? Oh, Aries, I'm Gemini, you know? It's just, you're trying. You're like, back up. It's rejection. Yeah, it's rejection. Now, I can deal with being rejected by a company or corporation. I can deal with being rejected by a girl. And I went back to my higher school reunion. I'm glad they rejected me. Hallelujah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. White girl said to me, I need to steal my notes. Oh, man. Oh, me and Jackie show up and walk in. Everybody's like, hey. And Deidre Edwards pulled me to the side. Hey, how you get her? You know what? Anyway, that's why she was there by herself. Anyway, so I have rejected him. It is something to be rejected by a human being or something, but God rejecting you? What's that say about your heart? I rejected him. Rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. That's a lesson in itself. It's like, okay, then how am I seeing? My vision is skewed. And what is causing my vision to be distorted? See, people judge by outward appearance. But the Lord looks, there we go with their searching, looking and seeing again. He looks at the heart. That's why I try to guard my heart. Don't let stuff in my heart. Lila was doing, we had a training yesterday. I just thought of this. We had a training yesterday and leadership development. And Lila, who is a trainer, where is she? Yeah, there you go, right there. Hallelujah. And so Lila was working us and some of the ministers and stuff. And you worked us from what, 10 to 4, 30? What? Yeah, anyway, she worked us. And but it was good. One of the best trainings we've ever had. And one of the things she said was, give us an incident, something happened where you had the wrong perspective. And so when I was in Arizona this week, I got on an elevator, and I was going to my class that morning, and I got on there, these two white guys, and they were really tatted. I mean tatted, okay? And I got on, it caught me out the corner of the eye, and they didn't say anything. Well, I ain't saying nothing either. Two of y'all, bigger than me, on the elevator. And now this is the thought process. I'm in Arizona. They don't celebrate Martin Luther King's holiday. They down there on the border shooting at the Mexicans. I'm just going to ride down the first floor. I ain't saying nothing. Okay? And they get off. They don't say, you know, everybody else, good morning. Hey, you know, it's just, you know, usually you guys know when you go to like a hotel and business people, everybody's kind of chipper and pepper. Hey, you know, they wouldn't. Okay, cool. They just stand on stoic. Okay, not a problem. So I'm thinking racist like a, I'm just thinking they're just some racist guys. Whatever. I'm from Louisiana. I dealt with racism before. No biggie. I'm going to get my coffee. I'm going to grab a sausage, turkey sausage. I'm grabbing a sausage. And I'm about to bounce, okay? I ain't eating a pig. So I'm about to I'm about to bounce. And when I go to the coffee machine, the tall guy was there. He looked at me. He just smiled and just nodded his head. I had it all wrong. Because I looked at the outside. Me and Jackie are praying, Lord, bless Tony as he goes today and give him wisdom, give him insight, Lord. Help him receive all that you have for him, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Get on the elevator. All holiness just go. It's real. Okay. So the outward appearance, we got to look on the heart. And the funny thing is, I know pastors that look like them. Why didn't I default to, hey, are you guys, what church are you from? Why didn't I go there? You guys remember Preachers of L.A.? You remember all the guys was something. But you remember Jay, the white guy? He's the coolest one on there, wasn't he? Jay is my boy. Yeah, Jay's out there winning Skaters of Christ, and he's tatted up. Got the piercings. Jay got piercings, but he got the Spirit of God in him. Why didn't I default to maybe they're like Jay? That ain't even in my notes, so whoever, receive it. I'm receiving it too. I didn't realize that, okay. Turn your hand out over, please. You can tell what I believe by how I behave. Look at your behavior. That's an indication of what you believe. Now, let me tell you, again, we're going at what's important to God, okay? What's important to God. Now, Acts 13, 22 is not in your handout, okay? Not in your handout, but I want you to see something. This is what Paul has said later on, and this is after the church, after Jesus going back to heaven, many years later. Watch this. Watch what he says. And I want to show you a principle here where we mess up, okay, about a committed heart. It says here, but God removed Saul and replaced him with David. A man about whom God said, watch what God says, watch this. He says, I have found David, son of Jesse, okay, a man after my own heart. Now, I think a lot of us miss that, a man after what? God's heart. See, this is what we normally do. Can I borrow your bag, Quita? Yeah. Okay, so this is what we normally do. So this is my project. This is something that's dear to me, something I'm crazy about. I just want a desire, and hope it stays right there. Okay, and I really want it. So this is what I do. God bless this, whatever it is I'm about to get involved with. Okay, because it feels good. I want it. I'm excited about it. This is my heart. It says there that David was after God's heart. Think about it. Are the things that are important to you important to God? Here's the other thing. He, being David, will do everything I want him to do. See, often it's about, God, I want her. And I remember Bishop Joseph Walker, who is the bishop of the Full Gospel, help me, Elder Joyce, Bible, Full Gospel Baptist, Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship. That's a long one. Okay. A great people, great leader. He's an amazing guy. What is it, 2,000 some churches, I believe, in that movement, something like that, okay? Now, his wife passed. This is early on, okay? And he has a church of 20-some thousand members. So his wife died, and he told us he was getting letters from women all over America saying, God said that you're going to be my husband. Now, that was their heart. They wanted that. So, but why didn't they say, God, what do you have for me? Not my will, thy will be done. So what he's looking for, okay, is my heart committed to him, his will, his way. It wasn't my idea to start New Day Christian Fellowship. And every one of you guys that knew me from all the way back in the day or whenever, you never, not one single time, ever heard me say I wanted to pastor a church. Never crossed my mind. But in your humble opinion, am I committed? Because it's His will, His way. And see, when you're committed to God's, and that's God's will for you, and that's the vision, you won't get thrown off course. See, if it's a God vision, you're going to have God boundaries. I know the wife that I have is the one God has for me. You know, her mom had lupus. Jackie's mom had lupus. And so it showed up in Jackie's lupus, and it's showing up in her scalp. So some of her hair is getting thinner, and she's loosening. And all the hair can fall out. I'm still committed. Because it ain't based on it. Is it God's will? Yes, then I got to be about it. Clear vision, firm boundaries. Fuzzy vision, fuzzy boundaries. That's why when you have a vision, you have to do an in and everything. You're talking, you're stupid. Your mama's stupid. Your daddy's stupid too. Your whole family's stupid. I can't stand none of y'all. Get out of my house. I mean, just you're talking to each other like it's like, what? Where's the vision? If you're really to God, you won't be saying that kind of crazy stuff. You come by my house and hear some screaming, I'm watching a football game. How am I going to scream at God's purpose for my life? See, we get upset when, Pastor Tony, I prayed, and you know, you're praying for stuff that you want. You're not praying for stuff that He wants for you. You quoted something, Elder Kelvin, when you got up here, and I believe it's 1 John 5:14, where it says, and this is a confidence that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, we have the petitions that we desire. Your will. But we don't see what it is. We want our will. Because we believe if we get this, then it's comfortable. It's going to make me feel good. And 99% of the time of that is based on something traumatic that happened to you as a kid. And that's what the enemy uses to distort your vision. He said, a man after my own heart. We have to be after His heart and doing everything He wants us to do. And that's where the commitment comes in. And then that's when he will put that strength on you. I want it so bad. I really do. And these kind of classes that we have, you're like, I ain't never seen a church like this. Because I'm trying to get Christians I ain't never seen before. I'm trying to get Christians that I've seen a Bible. Not my typical Baptist denomination. That was pretty cool. Last Sunday, Sandy was here, and we went Fast Time, went old school, and I forgot what song we did, and everybody else good feeling. Half y'all know what we were singing. I understand. I ain't never heard that song before. Okay. Well, you didn't grow up in the 60s and 70s. But we get so messed up when we focus on self-centered goals and ideals. We do. But let's get into this about Romans, in Romans, about Abraham, okay? Now, Abraham is an Old Testament guy. Let me set this up, okay? Abraham is what we call the father of faith. So, backstory. After the flood, you know, that was Noah and his sons, right? And they repopulated the earth, okay? And you can get mathematicians say all this is doable and possible for you guys just struggling with it. So out of that, God found a man named Abraham who was young at the time and said he wanted to really, actually he's going to bring in Jesus Christ, but he's going to carve out a race of people, and he had a plan. Okay, and you guys have been going to Life Group, especially last week when the lesson was being a small piece of a big puzzle, okay? And this is hallelujah. And then make sure you go this week because this Life Group going to blow your socks off, okay? It sounds really conceited. Whatever, I'm telling you, it is. Watch. Blew my socks off and I was writing it. So Abraham, he raises up Abraham because he has a plan. And eventually Jesus comes through that lineage. Got it? So Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob, 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. And Judas, who Jesus came through. The Levites are who the priestly lineage came through. Okay? Got it? Okay. Now, so after Jesus came, died, went back to heaven, Paul was an apostle, meaning a sent one. That's what an apostle means, a sent one. And when somebody tells me an apostle and they don't have a passport, I really question if they're a sent one. Okay. So And now we got chief apostles, and we got titles that ain't even in the Bible. And I'm thinking, what are these guys really committed to? You need somebody to validate you. Okay, anyway, creating Bibles. Okay. So, y'all know, some people came in half of y'all's mind, huh? Okay, anyway. So he raises up Paul, an apostle, and Paul writes a letter to the church in Rome that he has started, okay? So I like to pretend that he's writing a letter to the church in Corona, okay? Now watch what he says. He's going to talk about Abraham for a minute, and within the context of what gets God's attention, I want you guys to hear this, okay? So Romans 4, 16 through 25, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. 16 says this. So the promise is received by faith, okay? That means you got to be all in. Not, well, you put one toe in. No, all in, okay? It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. That means being circumcised, okay? If we have faith like Abraham's, we need to have faith, got it? For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That's why we call him the father of faith. Got it? Okay, 17. Here we go. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. God said, that's crucial. Watch this. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. He was talking about his own body because he was old. He was 100 years old when he had his child, and Sarah's womb was dead. Now, what happens with this scripture, because I heard it preached, God, I bring the dead back to life. And y'all would go back to your high school reunions thinking, trying to resurrect an old relationship that God didn't kill. He's going to bring the dead. See, that's when you put in your, no, that's not his will for your life. And you guys looking at somebody, what could it been? No, you better be, you take that and totally distort that. People read more into that scripture than that. That's what's really there. So the thing is that he was committed to God's purpose for his life. That's what he was committed to. He wasn't committed to his preference. He said, God told him, get away from your country, your kinfolk, and your father's house. Most of y'all won't go two blocks from mama. And then I love my mama too. I'm so glad she lives in Torrance and not around here, because she told me, baby, I live in Corona, I'll be a part of your church. I don't want my mama part of this church. No, I don't. My mama's sweet and kind. She got more holiness than I do, but mama's old school. She's stuck in tradition. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, God wants to do a new thing, so no. And Pastor Todd with that, welcome to our new day. My mama would have a holy hissy. Baby, is he saved? Who you letting on your praise team? Pastor, don't you worry about your mama hearing this. She don't have the internet. Okay. So we can't take that scripture and distort it. It's all about God's will and purpose for your life. That's what you have to be committed to. So you have to find out, what is his will for you? Thy will be done. And that's why we do this purpose. That's what this is all about. Look at verse 18. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Watch this. For God had said. What did God say to you? For God said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And God's like, you're going to have all these descendants, but your body is dead. 19, and Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. 21, he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. The thing is that y'all believe in something God didn't promise. I'm only going to be committed to what he promised. And because of Abraham's faith, one other thing. Whew. So I'm in class in Arizona, and I'm getting a certification. Anyway, the point is I meet with my little breakout group, and I just had an observation just midway through the class. I've never been lonely. I don't call ever, you know, description lonely. I've never felt lonely. Nothing. If you have good for you, whatever. Don't judge. It's just fact. And so I brought it to my group. I said, hey, I just had a thought. I've never been lonely. And a guy who's a Christian, he teaches Sunday school at his church in Dallas, he turned to me, he says, that's because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You've always experienced his presence, Tony. whoever that was, oh, this lines up with what you were saying. Okay, 22, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded for our benefit too. Assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. If we believe in him. Most of the time we believe in ourselves. And you guys that had a level of success in your life, hallelujah, glory to God. I'm happy you got your degrees. I'm happy you got your businesses. I'm happy you got your promotions. I'm really happy for you. But here's the thing. What is God's will for your life? Assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. 25, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. So that I can be committed to. That is what I'm committed to. That is what I'm committed to. God has more for me than any woman, any amount of money, any house, any car, any drugs, any alcohol, anything else. So I'm going to challenge you. Don't hold back. Be fully committed to God. Bow your heads, please. Father God, we thank you for your word.